Welcome back to the Gentleman's Romantic Book Nook, a journey into love in literature. I am Mac W. Monty, broadcasting to you live from Portland, Oregon.
And I am your other host, Lucky, here in sunny Seattle, getting excited for our next book and our next selection. We have finished The Ship Who Sang, A Wonderful Story About Helva, but I'm over it. Get it out of here. It's time to move on.
Helva, you're dead to me.
It's time for something fresh. It's time for something new. It's time for something where a human has romantic relations with another human. I don't feel like that's too much to ask, but we've definitely been in some interesting areas so far.
Hopefully. That was like on our minds when we were trying to pick this book. It's like, okay, what's the, like, let's just strip away the layers of kink that's like infest this genre and find something that's a little bit more on the beaten path.
I would say so. More mainstream. I think we're finally opening the door into that doorstopper romance with a selection that's a little bit more more up there with our vampire stories, you know, our lost notebook journals where the wife falls in love again. I don't remember the movie. It was terrible. But just a generic romance.
Yeah. And to that end, we have selected The Selection by Kira Cass, which is a more recent entry into the genre.
It is rated the number 3 cheesiest romance novel on Goodreads.com, the best source for all of your different reads.
They have not paid us, so we'll be bleeping out that website in post. Number 1 was like 50 Shades of Grey, number 2 is Twilight, and the third one was The Selection, which I hadn't heard of before. It's the first in a series of like young adult, quote unquote young adult series. It was when I was a kid, I had no desire to read this. And to be honest, now I sort of begrudgingly turn to Mrs. Cass.
I think honestly, the reason I'm so excited about this book is when we were talking about the next book, you know, what do we do? How do we get more in the genre? I gave you a description of exactly what I'm looking for. I want there to be love triangles. I want there to be a competition. I want there to be a hidden twin. And the description of The Selection hit 1, 2, and 3 right off the bat. And I am very excited to dive into this book.
We did a deep dive to just find the book. It's like that scene in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf is in the basement and he's just unscrolling these like old parchments. They're crumbling in his hands.
The what? There's dresses? No, this won't do. And he throws them to the side and the romance crumbles and it says the notebook. It just falls apart.
A woman falls in love with Frankenstein. No,
not like this.
No.
Just puts it in his pocket for later.
A little reading for bathroom time later.
For the piece de resistance, Mac, could you delight our listeners' ears with the reading of the back of the book?
Oh, indeed. So this is from The Selection, the 2012 smash hit by Kira Cass. For 35 girls, The Selection is the chance of a lifetime. The opportunity to escape of the life laid out for them since birth. To be swept up in a world of glittering gowns and priceless jewels. To live in a palace and compete for the heart of the gorgeous Prince Maxon. But for America Singer, being selected is a nightmare. It means turning her back on her secret love with Aspen, who is a caste below her. Leaving her home to enter a fierce competition for a crown she doesn't want. Living in a palace that is constantly threatened by violent rebel attacks. Then America meets Prince Max. Gradually, she starts to question all the plans she has made for herself and realizes that the life she's always dreamed of may not compare to a future she's never imagined. That's kind of a riddle at the end. I don't.
Obviously, there's a big twist right at the beginning that I think it would be ridiculous for us to not talk about first. America Singer as a name is just preposterous. I cannot fathom the thought process behind. And in our deep dive, finding a little bit about, she is a singer. That is her talent. That is what we're going to see her be like producing during this book. A little homage to our Helva.
Okay, so and the back of the book doesn't reveal this little tidbit, but this takes place in the future. This is not present day or in the past. This is like a semi-futuristic world.
Futuristic and dystopian.
Yeah, well, clearly it's dystopian because people are named after places and
their job
occupations. Yeah, I think that the back of this book is bonkers to me because it starts off with the most insane part, which is that there's 35 different girls lining up for this. That seems like a lot of girls.
That's a lot of a selection, right? I mean, I'm no avid Bachelor fan, but I believe it's only one or two people kicked off a week. You can't be slicing off 10 of your options after only a short time getting to know each other. What a waste.
We did say this is the first book in a series. What if it's a 35 book series and every book one girl is voted off the island?
Oh, I just had like heart palpitations thinking about how many books there would be of the exact same nature, where it would be one of the girls is competition, America Singer wins again, gets closer to the prince, and Aspen dies. I mean, it just, I feel like this is what's going to happen.
Canada gets kicked off in book one. Fiji gets kicked out in book two. Kentucky gets kicked out in book three. Bangladesh.
Cantuna makes a comeback in book four.
Cantuna. Yeah, what is it? Bangladesh Cantuna, because that's a place and an occupation.
Bangladesh Cantuna is a great fantasy name. I'm just going to take a little note here on the side just for my future projects.
Bangladesh Cantuna. What if that's her main love rival in this for the heart of Prince Max? Okay, also, the fact that their names are so precisely weird, I can get into. We're making fun of it, but all right, whatever. Her name's America Singer. I'm sure they explain why people's names are like that. His name's Aspen, haha. But then, the prince's name is Maxon. It's Prince Max. I feel like they've sort of ran out of proper nouns. I'm just like, Max. We'll call him Max.
The part I'm really looking forward to with this back is the love triangle they set up for us right immediately in the description, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It paints Aspen in a very interesting light. I'll be talking about this a lot later in the show, but I have stumbled upon the fandom wiki of the selection and all of the community. They have some thoughts about Aspen and Max, which we will be discussing in depth later. The love triangle, I think that is what's really sucking me in, and all of these other young teens.
I've already ordered us Team Max and Team Aspen t-shirts.
What were the logos for each?
Okay, so they don't actually make these shirts. So one is just a shirt from Aspen, and the other one has Max from a Goofy movie on it. Oh. So those are like, that's sort of working with what we have.
The threat of impending rebels is another fun twist.
Yeah, the book there's a lot to unpack on this, the back of the book.
The book isn't just about the fact that they're going to find love, and there's all of this drama and murder. And if there's not an evil twin, ooh, I'm going to lose my mind. But also that there's rebels. Are we going to get chapters of like Max showing his very attractive army knowledge or something? Like, I'm a strategist as well as a great dancer.
Yeah, they're like dancing, and he's just talking about how he's going to wipe out the filthy peasants one day.
Now that we've had a second to decipher the back of the book, I'd like to read you a little bit of the fandom's description of the first book. A little bit about what they believe the book is about.
Okay, so this is like their interpretation.
Yeah.
Like I asked the publisher, what's the selection about? And I read that earlier. And now I'm asking the fans, the real people, the man on the street, women on the street.
The heart of the people, exactly. So they start with, it follows the journey of America Singer for the first three novels of the series. Nice and basic, no problem.
Straightforward.
Here's where it kind of takes a twist that I found very delightful. She is a young girl who was selected to enter a competition called The Selection, referred to as The Hunger Games meets The Bachelor minus the blood sport.
Okay, well.
And I gotta say, I was clinging onto the idea of rebels that we maybe get some fighting, but now it just sounds like we're reading The Bachelor, kind of.
The Hunger Games without the blood. It's just like James Bond, but there's no spies. Yeah. The espionage is turned down to zero.
It's like Star Wars, but they hang out on one planet the whole time.
They also have a similar naming convention to Star Wars. Luke, Skywalker.
In America's case, she is chosen to be one of 35 girls to compete for Prince Maxon's heart and to be the next princess of a future country called Ilaya, which is like a play on words for America, I guess. However, this means leaving her family and secret boyfriend Aspen behind. She is stuck between two worlds and realizes that life as one of the competitors is not what she expected. So a pared down version, a little bit of, yes, it's exactly what you thought the book was going to be.
So her name is America, but that's not where she lives.
Right. She lives in a dystopian future. Okay. And I am pulling this completely out of this fandom description. She lives in a dystopian society that is not a country yet, but is part of this competition for Prince Maxon to then be a princess of a future country called Ilaya.
So he's won some contest to become a prince. He had to kill 34 other princes and now is like, well, the only way I know to find who I want to be with in life is a selection.
Yeah, The Bachelorette was much more of a blood version of this. This side of things is a lot more tame and filled with balls and dancing.
So no, without the bloodshed, I was kind of hoping they would be ritualistically killing these girls as the story went on, but I guess it's probably a little softer than that.
I'm falling into a little bit more of the romantic tropes for this book. I'm believing in myself that there's going to be an evil twin. There's going to be a poisoning. You know, small things like that, I think. Maybe not bloodshed, maybe not big battles, but we'll certainly see a dagger in the back.
Well, you know, it's funny we talked about twins, right? The evil twin section. Because, okay, there's 35 girls. So if you just grabbed 35 women off of the street, okay, well, don't do that. But if you did, the odds of one of them being a twin are not insane. Not good, not great, but you could have one.
Mac, I don't know, man. I feel like if I see somebody, you just get that feeling that they're probably a twin. I feel like I could go pick 35 people and at least 7 of them are going to be twins.
You look at a girl. I've seen you somewhere before.
You know those moments like glitch in the Matrix? No, you've just seen a twin.
It's just twins. They're just twins, Lucky.
My father's a twin. I know how to spot a twin.
I'm like a quarter twin.
I'm the twin.
Add it all up.
I'm the twin whisperer.
other factors we can assume is a group of 35 women. There's a lesbian in there. Ooh. I know there's no way to cut that out. Like
that's so true.
35 people. Well, somebody's gonna be gay. That'll because I don't the girls, it doesn't seem like have a choice that they're one of these 35. Like that she seems unwilling. Like if America could choose not to go and stay with Aspen, she would. So I imagine there's got to be some lesbian out there that's like, yeah, I'm going to be losing this competition.
Well, I think we don't know what's going to happen when you lose, right? There has to be some kind of terrible thing that happens if you don't win. Otherwise, you wouldn't really compete, right? If you're being dragged to get married, like, who cares? I'm just going to botch it and then go home. Maybe they take the food from your village, or there has to be some kind of negative connotation to not competing your hardest.
That's tough because that's like 34 people who just like didn't make the final cut who then have their villages burned to the ground. What was it crossed with? It was The Hunger Games meets
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor. Yeah. Okay, that makes good sense. Well, there's some bloodshed on The Bachelor from time to time.
Oh, I love it. So many good catty fights in The Bachelor. Whew. Yeah, there might be a good like fight. There might be a good, you know, Maxon might have to fight some like, I mean, Maxon will probably fight Aspen at some point, which I'm very much looking forward to.
I mean, not spoilers that I from just my predictions, Aspen's going to be a member of the Rebel Force, right? Like he kind of has to be following that, like Gale from the Hunger. I'm showing now my Hunger Games nerdiness. I just rewatched all those movies not too long ago.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be one of the rebels and it's going to tear America apart. But we're here for the ride.
Wow. Okay. I was not on board with the name America, but hearing us say stuff like what America will have to decide, it's tearing America apart. The values that America used to have. It's like, maybe there's like some actual commentary to be had here. It's a little on the nose, but I mean, so is all good satire. I do believe that the selection series is ongoing, correct? And I don't think it's ended yet.
Yes, it seems like it is still continuing. There are books after the original trilogy, small side stories about some of the different competitors and whatnot.
Okay. Another great publication that you can still be picking up is called Neon, which is a UK-based literary magazine that publishes surreal and speculative fiction, poetry, art, and photography. They come out with a lot of cool stuff about twice a year. And they recently just released their 50th issue, which is full of awesome stuff. The print run of that 50th issue is currently sold out, but you can still get a digital copy for as little as £1. I don't know what the exchange rate is on that. My notes just say, which I looked up, and it is X dollars. So as little as £1, but you can and should pay more for such good content. They have options on their website up to £20. You can check out some sneak peeks, purchase issues or subscriptions at neonbooks.org.uk. Once again, that's neonbooks.org.uk. That 50th issue is just chock full of great sci-fi and surreal poetry.
So we've spent a lot of time talking about just some of the names that tickle us to no end and that we're finding in this book. Mac, I did a little bit more of a search on some of the tertiary characters. Nobody major, no spoilers. Found a couple more excellent naming conventions and made up some of my own. I'd like to play a little game with you where you try to guess which one I made up and which one is actually a book name.
Okay, this is fun. Are they all as good as America Singer?
Oh my God, Mac.
Singer.
I'm going to pass out how good these are. It is incredible.
Okay, yeah, let me crack my knuckles. Ka-ka-lunch, ka-ka-crunch.
Don't worry, I'll put that in post.
Ready to go. Insert soundbite 4 here.
Here's our first one. Anna Farmer.
Anna Farmer. Fake.
Incorrect. That is a real book name. We are going to run into a character named Anna Farmer at some point.
I thought because the first name wasn't a noun that I perhaps.
Here's another one. Mm-hmm. Sean Diego.
Sean Diego. Ooh. Real.
Nope, that one was me. God, but here's another one right off the bat for you. Though. Juan Diego.
Okay, now I'm lost in the woods. I'm going to say real again.
Correct. This one is real. We're going to run into a Juan Diego.
So Sean Diego is fake, but Juan Diego is real.
In my headcanon, the fake Sean Diego is Juan Diego's evil twin brother.
That's some fan fiction corner potential right there. If there's anyone out there who wants to write some Sean John Diego stuff.
And you know, we'll read it in our fandom corner. So send it on our way.
Not if they hook up. We're not. That's a step too far, perhaps.
I'm not looking for smut. Okay. Doug Goodprince.
Okay. Spell Goodprince. Is it Prince like Paw Prince or?
P-R-I-N-C-E.
Fake.
Yes, you got it. Doug Goodprince is a fake creation from my own womb of ideas.
That works with my fan theory that the poorer you are, the more accurate your name is to a place or job.
Giuseppe Bucatini.
As much as I want that so badly to be real, I'm going to say that that's fake.
It's all right through me, damn it. Giuseppe Bucatini was certainly one that I made up.
That's my Italian gardener that always gives it a selection girls their advice, huh? It's not about whether you get it selected. It's about who you select to love.
Carter Woodwork.
Not Carter Woodworker.
Nope. Carter Woodwork.
False. Fake.
Real. A real person we're going to run into.
There's no logic to these names.
This is why it's an easy game. Here is my final name I'm going to pitch you for this game.
Okay.
Stacy Hand Servant.
Not real.
Correct. Not real. That's I made Stacy Hand Servant up. Yeah.
Stacy Hand Servant.
Okay. Anna Farmer wasn't too on the nose for you, but Stacy Hand Servant was.
Oh my God. By the time, at the end of the game, I had maybe sort of learned some of your tactics. But Anna Farmer was real, right?
Anna Farmer was a real one.
She's a character in the book. She's not real. America Singer is not real, Mac. She can't hurt you. She can't hurt you.
You're too deep already, and we haven't started reading. I'm going to take the crown for this game, Mac. I think I have thoroughly confused you with terrible, terrible names.
So Kira Cass, who wrote this, is, as we said, not only alive and still writing, but is a Goodreads author. So they're like actually really in touch with their fan base and have like presence online, both with their fans and on Goodreads. And if you scroll down, if you're on the selection main page for the first book, you can scroll down a little bit. And it's under the about section for Kira Cass. There's a little article called 100 Things I Love. And then it lists 100 things that Kira Cass loves. And that's the only thing in her bio.
Oh, my God. That's it?
On Goodreads, yeah. It's about Kira Cass. 100 things I love. Which, you know, not a bad way to get to know someone.
True.
But I feel like after you get towards 100 things, you sort of start to run out.
I like big birds. I don't know. Medium-sized rocks.
Bookshelves. Boxes. Empty journals. Surprises. So it does get a little weird there towards the end. They're not numbered, but the first one is being married, and the last one is recycling. So Whoa. We can guess maybe that it goes from 1 to 100.
It seems like that lines up pretty well. I mean, you know, she's found a perfect dude and she understands it. Cleaning out those plastic bottles every time you use one, like washing out the wine bottles. Oh, my God. It's tough. I mean, we have to do it. The earth is important, but oh, God.
She does have making people laugh on here. So I think that, and that's like her 25th favorite thing.
That's interesting. So that's I'm going to lock
she should
that
love
away.
Our show.
We should wait. Hang on. Let's wait until we read a little bit before we reach out and have her listen.
There are some conflicting, it does say the word Episcopalian on here, which sort of is a little tiny red flag maybe. But then also a little further down the list, sex.
Oh. Could you give me a rough estimate of how far down the list is? Because then I want to think about the things that she enjoys above sex, like Episcopalian.
So sex would probably be like number 30. Like I said, they're not numbered. But right ahead of sex is aprons and reasons to get dressed up. So if that sort of puts it into perspective.
To be fair, reasons to get dressed up and sex do go a little hand in hand. The apron in the middle is just foreplay.
That's good. Good for you, Kira. I don't know if I could name 100 things I like. I would think it would turn into things that I hate really fast.
I feel, unfortunately, that cynical at this point in my life. You know, I'm coming up on 30. I'm getting to that age where I'm thinking negative thoughts about every single driver on the road. My hip throbs when it rains. You know, it's just, it's the slippery slope. You're going to have to bear with me because I will be leaning heavily on the fandom throughout this. I'm loving that there's a community of people for a book that we're reading finally. I'd like to give you a little state of the fans, a little of their opinions about the first book and some of the fan trivia that they've gathered that they thought pertinent for first-time readers.
Yeah, and this is from the wiki.
Indeed. This is the state of the fans that I found. I looked at some community polls where everybody got to vote on who they think America should have ended up with. What book was the best of the trilogy? Just a couple of fun things. And then key trivia we must know before reading.
All right. Yeah, give me some context, please.
Here is what I dived into the data and discovered about the fan base. Everyone absolutely hates Aspen, which is instantly making him my underdog of choice. I feel now very pro Aspen. I'm hoping that he does end up with America's Singer in the end.
It's actually Aspen, and that's sort of his occupation, which is unfortunate.
Aspen, Aspen.
what cruelty of his parents.
Apparently, The Selection is the second best book in the series. The third in the trilogy took the cake. The second book actually was terrible, apparently, and The Selection was the second. Kind of a general trope in movies as well. I find that interesting.
Weird. Okay. Maybe we should have started with the third one.
Maybe there would have been more bloodshed.
We start the third one, and there's still like 30 girls left.
The final note that I pulled out from the data is everyone else is also hyper confused about the naming convention of all the characters.
Okay, so it's so it's not necessarily explained in universe.
No, nobody gets why this is happening.
That is both sort of like life affirming for like what I've the jokes we've been making, but also really bizarre. That's like, I don't know how to like deal with that knowledge.
The Selection was a potential TV series that would have aired on the CW, but was not picked up because the CW did not want two shows about princesses in the programming, which is insane based off of their DC lineup alone. But I will not get into the Arrowverse.
Oh my god, yeah. The idea of them being like too much of the same content with two princess shows.
Blasphemous.
Netflix is actually producing, I think, a film version of The Selection. They announced a director. It has not been cast yet. Rumor has it that they've shortlisted the people who are going to play America's Singer down to 35 lucky young girls who will then have to duke it out in the streets of Hollywood for the job of a lifetime.
If they don't film that for reality TV, they're really missing an opportunity.
That's actually not a bad idea. That's a good crossover.
Okay, obviously no Lethal Weapons, but I would watch definitely a combat-based series to get a part in a TV show where competitors would fight each other until one gave up.
Sort of like a sexy Survivor.
I guess, yes, you're right, Max. Sex sells in reality TV. Everyone has to be scantily clothed, like men in banana hammocks, women in bikinis, and they're fighting in a big foam pit, but it's also
Charlie Banana Hammock.
It's also Deadly Melee.
I think that is probably all that I want to know about The Selection. I think we need to almost like set that aside because I'm really ready to like crack open the book on page one and just like get to it.
I have so many theories already. I'm ready. You're right. Just give me this book.
Reading the fan stuff made me really like get into the idea of like, okay, they're like ranking the books and like dunking on Aspen, who I thought was going to be kind of the hero of the series. It makes me very like into it. For the first section of the book, we're going to be reading chapters 1 through 8. We're going to be covering the book across the next 3 episodes, just like with the previous installments we've done. The next episode is going to be on August 14th. We'll be discussing those first 8 chapters. Lucky, do you have any final thoughts on this primer that we have today?
Yeah, if you like what we're doing, if you like our voices, send us an email at grbooknook@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, at grbooknook. We are going to start giving shout-outs to people who give us a little mention. We're hoping to build our fan base a little bit. I mean, obviously, these amazing tones and beautiful thoughts need to get out to more people. If you share our podcast on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag grbooknook, we will give you a little shout-out on our show here in the kind of final moments of the show. You know, if you want to dunk on us too, shoot, I'll talk about that too.
I'd love to give some rebuttals. I'd love to tell you what I think of you and your podcast.
Yeah, do you have a podcast? Come at me.
Don't at me. Come at me.
Come at me, don't at me is a great little tagline for us because I definitely don't want to get added. Like, you can come at us on email, but I don't want my social media presence to get dragged.
Don't at me. I need my Twitter is pristine. Yeah, if you are going to talk about the show, be sure to use that hashtag GRBookNook so we'll know it's you, especially if you've read about the selection. We'd love to hear your thoughts and read those thoughts on the air. If you really like the show, the biggest thing you can do, though, is just tell your friends about it. We don't really advertise except on Twitter and Instagram, which could hardly be called advertising. So we spread a lot by word of mouth. So, yeah, tell your friends if they like romance novels, or preferably if they don't like romance novels at all. If they're a big fan of selections or America, Singers,
The Bachelor, Hunger Games.
We want to hear from our Aspen fans out there. Not the person, but the place. If you live in Aspen, Colorado, hit us up.
Let us know if you're hashtag Team Aspen or hashtag Team Maxon.
If you're hashtag Team Giuseppe Bucatini, please let us know.
I think we're all hashtag Team Giuseppe Bucatini. God, a character I really wish was real.
The new music for this episode is True Messiah by DJ Freedom. Thanks for letting us use that music. You're a real sport. And also, DJ Freedom could be the name of a character in the selection, so that's also kind of a perfect tie-in for us.
That would be amazing. I'm so hopeful that we'll run into a DJ Freedom character.
I don't know that I could even name 35 different women, but let's try. And none of them can be real.
Oh, okay. Obviously not ones that I've made up.
No, you can't just be like, Rebecca.
Damn, okay, that was going to make this game easy. Okay, let's do it then. I'll keep a tally. You start. We'll just fire it back and forth. Let's do this thing.
Okay. Fictional women, Laura Croft.
Princess Peach.
M, Judi Dench's character from James Bond.
Nice. Daisy.
Okay, you're just going to go through
I'm
the
in Mario. So don't judge my strategy.
Marceline the Vampire Queen.
Elizabeth from Wild Thornberries.
Ariel.
Disney princesses. Mulan.
Batwoman.
The Scarlet Witch.
The Scarlet Witch.